world, American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Fuck you, Nick.
Podcasting live from the recent past in the Dogwater Studios, high above 4th Street and the Hazy Crazy Hooker Chicks in the city of Trembling Leaves. It's the Worst Little Podcast. And I'm your host, Nick Ramirez, with my good friend Cadillac Kim as a host. We got Chewbacca as a host, Dogwater Dick in the back, Pongo's here, and our good friend from the cellar, Dennis McDonald.
Here I am.
Talking out of our ass.
Okay, to be fair, I hadn't heard that before.
What? You hadn't heard that?
I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting Zombo. Oh. And then it was fuck you, Nick.
We have three of them. There's Zombo being nice, and there's Riku being nice, and she says Uncle Nick, and then there's Mike O'Mara saying fuck you, Nick. That's my favorite.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Oh,
yeah.
I love it.
You don't do it all the time, so when it does come on, it's like a curveball.
It is, yeah.
Always shocks.
We all looked at each other. We're like, oh.
They all looked at me, Nick. Like I said it.
Oh, and who are you?
This is Dennis McDonald.
Dennis!
Oh, yeah, here I am.
Dennis is back.
Yeah. Altourist,
yeah, number two here.
On 4th Street and the cellar stage that he runs and books.
Yeah, they loosened up the chains a little when I escaped, so I'm out. Here I am.
Sweet. And we started this last year where Dennis comes in and tells us to stay the cellar and like – some of his favorite shows from the past year. And
yeah, some of the fun stuff that goes on. This time I'm doing the six things that have changed to help form what the cellar is today.
Ooh, nice. So, nice. Before we get into that, I got to talk about the show that I played on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I got a little bit of good radio. Well, I don't know if it's good radio, but I had a crazy weekend, you guys. Like first Friday I practiced with Roxy, right? That was Thursday. And then Friday I practiced with One Tenduli. We're at practice. We're starting to write a new song. It's really exciting. And Spike runs to the bathroom and comes back. And I'm thinking, oh, we're going to get into it. Like a good another half an hour or 45 minutes of practice, right? And he's like, I'm going to go outside and have a cigarette. And so I'm like, okay, cool. And we both go walking out there. And we hear this little voice going, help.
What?
Help. And we're like, whoa. And so we go next door and the garage door's open and there's a man, his next door neighbor, Randy's like fucking pinned against the wall on the floor, can't get up. And his, you know, his face is on the ground and the concrete and shit. And like on a little ledge, concrete ledge in the corner. And his face is on it. And
was he pinned with like a car or something? Or
no, just the weight of his body. Oh. And there was shit on top of him too, like a broom and a mop and maybe a box of some shit.
Like he fell down and a bunch of stuff fell on him?
Or? Yeah. So we had to like get stuff off of him and pull him back a little bit so he can breathe. And then Roy was on the phone calling on the 911. And then I went and tried to find Erica so she could find this dude's wife. And then she finally does, and the wife comes around. And by the time the wife's in the garage, the ambulance is there pulling up.
Damn, those guys are quick.
And so practice was, you know, over. And OTD to the rescue, man. And so Steve didn't make that one because he had to work extra to be able to go to Saturday's gig with Roxy Colley, which was out in Fallon with Will Schamberger.
Great.
I met some really cool acts out there. It was Annabelle in the Desert Scrubs.
Nice.
And booked them for the podcast.
Oh, good. That was my that was my question. It's always my follow-up.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you book them?
She's a young Fallonite, 15, but incredibly talented. So,
what kind of music?
Kind of folky guitar vocals.
So like, we'll be friends in 10 years.
Yeah. We'll have her come here with her chaperone and a PG show and everything. Yeah. There was this girl, Kat, who was incredible. But right before her first song, she let us all know that her dad passed away before.
Oh, damn.
It was gnar. And then she was dancing and smiling and singing and having the time of her life there. And which is what I'm sure her pop would want, you know? And so that was kind of heavy with strangers. And all these people in Fallon seem like the artsy hippie kind that they all gathered together in this orchard. Really beautiful homemade stage.
Sounds awesome.
It was, it's permanent now, this big structure, and really good speakers and stuff.
Yeah, sounds like a cool environment for a show.
Yeah, it was really, really fun, and to be outdoors in really good weather this weekend, you know. So I just wanted to say thanks, Jeremy, for hosting us at that rad event, and I hope you start a festival with your new stage, because that was really cool.
That would be rad.
Bring your bug spray because the mosquitoes come out at night.
Oh, yeah. Fallon's one of the only towns in Nevada that has a mosquito problem.
Yeah.
I saw Larry's photos.
Dude, I was out in Hidden Valley, like, and it was terrible.
Hidden Valley is one of the other ones.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, because it's basically a swamp.
That's whenever there's like standing water is where mosquitoes kick it.
Yeah, that's where they make their babies after they drink your blood.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Oh, and then I forgot to tell you, The Griefs, which was a new band. That was the reason the stage was built, was Jeremy's daughter, Lyric, asked Jeremy's dad, her grandpa, "Dad, I want to play a show, but I don't want to go do it in front of people at a bar. I'm not ready for that, but I want to do it in front of our friends." And so they let him build the stage for this event.
And dude, but I mean, Lyric is fucking rad, and Jeremy's fucking rad. I can see them being like, "Well, if Lyric needs a fucking stage, we're going to." Mm-hmm.
And it's rad because Will Schamberger and Lyric are together, and
yes,
they're both in The Griefs. So it's just guitar,
oh,
drums,
I didn't know that. Oh,
Lyric.
That's fucking rad.
And Jeremy on the drums.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's a total family
band.
Did
you book them?
I want to see. I just want to hang out with them.
Talking.
I haven't seen
we're
them in
talking.
A while.
We haven't put it in the book, but we're definitely going to do it. Sometime.
Last time I saw them, I was at a party at Jeremy's house, and like I haven't seen him since then, and that was like last year. Fuck.
Yeah, it's a really good vibe out there and everything, and good new bands coming out of the Eastern Nevada scene. So kudos to you folks, and I just wanted to make sure everybody knew about that.
Sweet.
That sounds cool.
You know who was here? Cat Hart was on here. Was she talking about Fallon?
God.
Yeah, she talked about this like really cool like kind of restaurant bar like barn thing that she used to play at or that she's been playing at. And they do like it's like total hippie fest, like they do yoga and shit. And she plays like daytime shows on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, this place sounds pretty cool. I kind of want to go.
Yeah,
it's
and,
only
you know,
a short hour drive.
I know.
Yeah, that small town vibe.
Do it.
I kind of miss how it was like how it was in the 90s here. Mm-hmm. You know, like people have backyard parties or whatever, you know, you build your own stage and all that.
Dude, and Fallon's downtown boom was like in the 30s and 40s, I think. So all the buildings in the downtown area look like the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
It's pretty
like
cool
it's
little
fucking
downtown,
rad.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I always think that's what Reno looked like when The City of Trembling Leaves was written. You know, when it was still small, there weren't any casinos and there were just little houses like that.
And that show reminded me of your backyard shows, speaking of Sparks
oh, yeah.
and Legends.
Those were good
shows.
Times.
Aww.
It was very much like that kind of vibe, you know. But it was an orchard, so there's a lot more room.
Way more trees,
no
probably.
No fencing.
No fences.
Yeah. Camp people with the tents all set up and
no
stuff.
No neighbors.
And then I guess homie, the dad, who let them build the stage there, makes breakfast for everybody in the morning.
Oh, dude!
I was like, you got to put some
like
more acts on the stage the next day for breakfast.
Then you just got to make more breakfast.
Did you guys camp?
Nah, I had to come home to the baby, and poor John got bit right in both temples on his face, so he had bulging welts on both sides of his eyes.
Bit by what? Was it a groupie?
Bulging welts. That's going on the band name thing on the fridge.
Yeah, I think one was a groupie.
One was a groupie?
A Fallon girl who just couldn't get enough. And the other was mosquitoes.
Oh, mosquitoes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it could have been like wasps or something.
Or all the dogs that were running around. There were children.
Yeah.
It was like 2-year-olds to 82-year-olds and children. And it was truly all ages and rad and they didn't care if we you know had curse words in our songs and stuff, so that was nice. They were laid back.
It's art, right?
Yeah, and they were pretty laid back. Parents with their kids, I'm sure they're like, oh, they've heard it all. Dude. Yeah. Don't you worry. And really, our curse words go by so fast in Roxy Collie.
I was gonna say, whenever you guys have curse words,
no,
but
never
we do
noticed.
Say filthy fucking shithole. Yeah,
that's a great moment in that song. You can't like change.
Margie sings that.
Oh yeah, that's one of their go to always play songs.
I don't know how I've never picked that up.
It's at the very end of the song, and it's like the last lyric, and it's so, and I want to scream it every time she says it. So that's the only reason why.
I'm sure it sounds pretty when she sings it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You'd be all. Did she just say something nice to me?
Yeah.
Like so.
It's just a little jarring coming out of her beautiful voice.
Yeah. And she's so sweet. Mm-hmm. You know,
but the character in the song who's singing is disgusted with the world.
Okay. And with I think like with the scene that they're in, right?
Yeah.
And then like all you get to do is fucking say the same shit to these same people that all fucking agree with you in this filthy fucking shithole.
Hearing cover songs.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's all you do, you fucking loser. And you know, whenever you hear that, it's not Margie, it's John.
Yeah, John is the writer.
It's John. John's like cynical writing and Margie's gorgeous voice.
Yeah.
So, which is a magic combination, I must admit.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, right on, you guys.
There's the weekend wrap up.
Sounds like a great time.
Now let's get on to Dennis. What do you got for us today, sir?
Yeah, I brought six songs that are related to six things that I feel have morphed me into what I am right now, and at least what I'm doing. I don't know. We want to just jump right into it and start off with.
Yeah, what do you got?
Let's go all the way back to, our first show was March 29th of 2019. Wow, 1900.
I have coworkers that are so young, when I say something, they're all, is that from the 1900s? Because they never existed in that time, so they're
damn
like,
right, kid.
Whatever.
Wow.
That was my birthday. It was actually my 50th birthday, and it was a thing that I was like, I wanted to keep my birthday out of it, but the owner said, no way, we can build on this. It's the birth. It's your birthday, and it's the birth of your cellar. And so I tried it, and we started off slow. We reached out to the older bands at first. There really wasn't – we didn't know what to expect. We had just built the sound system. We had only worked with a couple underground bands that weren't really touring. They were just like garage bands. And so we called up Michelle Zito, and we had the Whiskey Preachers. That was it. And they were the opening of the whole thing. And it went cool. It was like it was something special because like we were getting the respect from the older crowd in town. And then all the younger crowds started saying, hey, what's going on over there?
Mm-hmm. Heard then, you got a stage.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it went. And, you know, we were only doing two or three shows a month. And then come July and August, I think it was the end of July, a guy came to me and he said, he goes, hey, what do you think about doing metal in your cellar? And I said, metal, huh? I go, I don't know. I've never done metal. I mean, we've done a couple of hard rock bands when I had the studio on 4th. This is a whole new thing. We haven't done it yet. I go, if you guys want to try it, come in the day before and we'll try it. So naturally, no one ever does what they say they're going to do. No one showed up the day before. So we were just winging it. They'd all showed up the night before. And one of those bands was The Scattering. And I, at the time, I wasn't very familiar with them. I'd heard of them. I knew they were a local band. I didn't really get into it. What they were doing. I didn't have enough time in the time that we said, hey, let's go play here to actually get it done and say anything or you know, see anything, find any background. But when these guys got on my stage, there was two bands before them. They got up on that stage and I lost my shit. I was like, this is awesome. I mean, the first two bands didn't compare to what was coming out of these four guys on the stage. And it was absolutely – it was like the turning point. Like I sat back and I looked at the crowd. I was stuck in my little booth back then when I had a board and I didn't have my tablet thing where I could walk around the room. And I looked across the room from the corner of the stage and I was like – people love this almost as much as I do. So we're going to do this. So I'm picking The Scattering because they were a huge turning point. And The Scattering, Feed the Machine, it's off of their latest, I believe, which isn't quite released, I don't think. There was something going on with that I heard about the last time they just played at the
It has
cellar.
To be released now because I downloaded
that's,
it.
That's true. That's true. there was something about the release of that.
Is the whole album out? I know like a couple of singles were out.
I think
out.
It is.
It looked like it was a whole album when I downloaded it. It looked like it had a cover and there was like 8 or 10 songs or whatever.
Yeah, but I really liked this one here when I listened to it. So let's go with that. We'll be right back.
That was rad, but he sounds really upset.
Yeah. He's intense.
Like there's something we really shouldn't be doing, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, don't do
but
something.
But you can't really understand what it is.
Exactly. But I got a name drop, Raj, our good friend Raj, who's also a board member for the Reno Punk Rock Flea Market, and our sound engineer, who we could not fucking live without, is the bass player in this band. So it's, always been one of my favorites. And then I got to, like, be friends with them. And I'm like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah, they're cool.
I always think it's one thing to hear the studio, but like seeing them live and just feeling the energy that comes out of them.
Oh, it's never the same. Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. And that's why I love doing what I do. It's just, you know.
It's a dream to do what you do.
You know what?
It really is. It's hard as fuck.
I get frustrated every now and then. I wonder if I'm in the right business. And like sometimes I just get so overwhelmed with stuff. I'm just like, I'm done. I can't do this no more. And then I think about it and I'm like, I have the greatest job in the world.
Yeah.
I work basically when I want to. And I just listen to music all the time and hang out with a bunch of really, really cool people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really, when you boil it down, that's what it is. I get it, though. There's a lot of frustrations in between, which we've talked about before personally. But like, the bureaucracy, the back end stuff, whatever. But when you're at the show and it's a success and everybody's having a great time, it's completely worth it.
Yeah.
That would be a great podcast, having like bookers talk about booking and bands and they're
I don't think that would be a great podcast.
It's not fun.
Yeah, you might let some things out bad. Yeah,
it's true. Funny. It's funny how
all your juiciest stories would be like, you can't talk about that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Especially in this town, there's a lot of weird stuff going on with bookers and promoters here in this town.
Yeah, it always has been.
It's terrible.
It's the nature of the game.
Yeah.
It really
that's
is.
That's why I kind of chose to not
weird.
I chose to not go that route. Like, I work with promoters, but I do a lot of my own, like, stuff on stage. I don't consider myself a promoter. I consider myself a guy who has a stage that lets people play on it.
Yes.
And, you know.
You're far more important than a promoter.
Right.
As a promoter.
Maybe so. I mean, but, you know, there's always that thing where, like, my belief is leave the paperwork for the bathroom. It's just I hate dealing with contracts. I hate dealing with all that shit. I mean, my motto is always to everyone. It's like, let's just do it simple. Mm-hmm. We can, you know, hey, this is where this is going to happen. That's when that's going to happen. And it's keeping it simple is keeping it safe. And it's always very smooth, too. So,
yeah.
Oh, you guys had information about the album being released and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Do we even say this on the show?
Wait, we gave him a name.
I don't know.
You're going to have to bleep that out.
Oh,
so we have a new trial intern.
I just did it again. What's the name then? We didn't come
we
up with
We
got to
come up
fly.
With an intern name.
Damn it.
How about the kid?
The kid.
The kid.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. It's just
I don't think it's mean enough, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We don't go mean anymore.
Yeah, we don't lean mean anymore.
No. Yeah, we're super
we
nice
used
now.
To be very, very mean to our interns.
Oh my god.
Oh, we've done some
that's why we all quit
things.
So much.
We called Ian Shrek for a whole year.
We can't
year.
Do that anymore.
That's why we only maintain two.
Yeah. But whenever we had a girl intern, we always gave them great names.
I came with my own name. I never
so
even
you
got
didn't
a
even
name.
Need one.
That's right. That's a smart thing to do. Come in with a cool name.
I mean, you know.
A cool nickname.
But the kid had information about the release of that album. Can the kid talk?
Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Disguise your voice, though.
Yes, they couldn't release the album because the vinyl production failed on them. Thank you.
That's what it was. I knew there was something about it.
That's why it's available. So it's totally available digitally. You can listen to it. But if you wanted the sweet vintage vinyl action... Then you can't have that.
Yeah.
Vinyl press fucked them up.
Yeah.
So it was not.
They just went out of business.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Sorry. They got their money back.
Yeah. They had nothing. I don't even know. I should ask them about that.
Whoa. Still available online. You could probably search for The Scattering and find all that music that they do, which is so awesome.
Hell yeah. What's up next, Dennis?
Oh, actually, I'm a huge fan of this man, and I don't care what he's doing and what he does, like he's in so many bands, I can't keep track of it. But
does his initials start with CF?
Yeah, everybody knows CF. But CF, that's Chris Fox. He's become a really like I admire this guy a lot. Like he's my hero.
He is a hero.
He does
an admirable
everything.
Dude.
Yeah. And he absolutely blew my mind away the other night when he had someone that was sick in his band and they couldn't show up for the show. And we had, it was the Beast Wagon. We had Beast Wagon and Hired Fun. and Boss's daughter. And somebody from Boss's daughter was just too ill. They couldn't make it to the show. He wasn't sure if he was going to be able to perform at all. And that was fine. But Chris stepped up. He came to the show with an acoustic guitar. And he played the Boss's daughter set on acoustic guitar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was the awesomest thing I ever saw. And so it's like, I just went, oh.
It's like Boss's daughter, Campfire Edition.
Versatile.
Chris killed it. Absolutely killed it.
He's a professional. He is a professional musician through and through. I think probably one of the most that Reno's ever produced. And if anybody was worthy of, you know, being a rock star, or whatever, he is a rock star, but you know what I mean.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know,
he's
got the drive, he's got the talent, he's just got a great ethic. He always shows up for me. He's in every band. So it's like,
follow him on social media. You can see him every single day. Just about, I'm playing here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing this and I'm playing here. And
I
doing
don't
that.
Know if I know anybody else who tours that much.
And even when the pandemic was going, he would get in his van and video a set of him playing on the acoustic guitar. And
voted.
It was awesome. The video is posted on my Facebook page.
But, yeah, I saw it.
Just the one song. But it's – I mean, he played that whole set, and it was absolutely gorgeous. It was to the point where, like, you know, some of the bands they're screaming and yelling and blah, blah, blah. That's all part of punk rock. But, like, you never really – it doesn't really like register when you're singing it like that, the way that he was singing it with an acoustic guitar. And Boss's D just went whoosh, right to the top with me. I was just like, holy crap. I had no idea that was what they were saying, you know?
Yeah.
So like Chris, actually I'm not going to pick anything from Chris's daughter, Boss's daughter. but I mean, I have to go with Chris Fox on this, and I'm pretty sure he's in the Vampirates.
So I'm
with the Vampirates, and I love that piece.
The last
song.
Set I saw it of them at the Cellar, and Winton Dooley got to open.
That's right.
Thank to you.
Was
thank
that the Agent
so
Orange show?
Yeah, the Agent Orange. Yeah. And the Vampirates are breathtaking.
Yes, they are.
Like once they stop, you're like, oh,
yeah.
I'm exhausted.
Energy
just
is
from
amazing.
Listening to that.
Energy is crazy.
It's a band full of just fucking incredibly talented musicians who've been doing this since they were literal babies.
Yeah.
Right? Like Dave Vampires. Drumming. Yeah, like, I mean, just
20 something years old.
Oh yeah, 20. I think they just hit 20 years old, and incredibly talented. Like traveled, toured everywhere, and you can tell.
Oh yeah,
they've got the experience.
I mean, in the band. I mean, Dave.
But they're not old,
no
slouch
either. You know.
Oh no, he's great.
Incredible.
I mean, that's just that band is just it's there.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, not to just keep floating on the Chris Fox boat, but. Chris Fox was he played. Let's see, we had Chris has been like a piece of furniture at the Cellar in the last month or so.
Yeah,
because we had the Vampirates open up in May with that, and a couple weeks later he was able to come back and we had voted best,
yeah.
And like even with voted best, I mean, I don't know. I think the most impressive thing about Chris is, I mean, they literally played 27 songs in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and then he went and he never left the stage. He was in all three of the bands that played there.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And he played another 30 to 40 songs with the other two bands as well.
Like, I don't know what deal he made with the devil, but he doesn't run out of energy, which is fucking awesome.
I don't
so.
Get it. But
I want some of what he's taken.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably just some Red Bull, but like. Give it to me.
He's also making how-to tab videos on the bass, guitar, all these different songs
the
from different
going,
artists.
Going
on,
back
on
and forth with instruments and everything else, too.
He never stops. He's just music every day.
I miss the Voted Best podcast. Chris, if you're listening, you got to bring that back.
Hell yeah.
It was when he would get in the van and they would
even
play.
Even though we were
going we're to We're a Voted Best podcast, but it's okay. We'll give it to you, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. That's the name of their podcast, so it's fine. Also, speaking of that, I saw that our friend Connor, who was on our show in his podcast, Renoites, in his plea to the public, he said, there's this one podcast that's been up for 15 years and all their guests and friends vote for him. So You guys got to do it for me this year.
They're hella good. Yeah, okay.
Wait, so are we giving it to Connor?
No.
No?
No. Gotta,
I'm not going to help, but I'm probably not going to plug as much as him. Okay. I just kind of want to see how it goes.
Yeah.
We've won it many years in a row. It's right. Okay. Yeah. We can give it to someone else.
If somebody else wanted, I'd be super happy for them.
I would be super happy.
I've been listening to that Screaming Sugar podcast.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
The girl from Ozymandias.
Oh,
Sahara?
Fucking Sahara's podcast. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's really good. They do murder, true crime murder.
I'm going to listen to that tomorrow on my drive.
What's it called?
They get
Screaming Sugar.
Screaming Sugar podcast. And they get bakery goods for each show. They either get donuts or something from a bakery, and they talk about that for a little, like a sliver of that, and then it's all about the murder.
I love it. Shit. Ozymandias, all about the murder? What?
That's awesome. She's good. And her and Candace do it. Candace Duran.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite local podcasts.
Ozymandias is coming up on their 6th anniversary on the 6th of June.
This Thursday.
So 666. Fuck. I'm going to be in Portland. Whoa. I'm so mad. Yeah. I love Ozymandias. You guys all know my deep, deep love for Ozymandias.
The devil might be
They're
there.
So rad.
It was their choice. They booked it. I think they booked it in December. It was right around Christmas time. Now that Danny has graduated,
which, by the way, congratulations. He's got to come back on the fucking podcast. We'll maybe try to have them on at the end of the year or something.
That would be great.
Yeah.
We love Ozymandias. They're the ones who did the 12-minute song for the Patreons?
Yeah.
Oh, they're so sweet.
The epic. Yeah, it was great.
We've gotten so far away from Chris Fox, you guys.
Yes.
Right. Let's hear the Chris Fox.
What are we listening to?
We started talking about the song 8 minutes ago.
This podcast is big enough for
I like the pizza song. I can't remember if it's the history of delivering pizza or the pizza delivery. I never remember the actual name of the song.
You're so close.
And it rips so fast. I love that song. I think the first time I ever heard it was actually I was watching their Bandcamp or something, and I clicked on something. It brought me to a video. And I watched the video, and it's kind of neat watching them all coming up. There's like a thing. I think they're coming off of a tour, and they all get dressed, and they deliver pizzas.
Wait, which band is this?
This is
Vampires.
Vampires. Okay, yeah. Okay.
And the song is called The Land of Pizza Delivery.
The Land of Pizza Delivery. Bad pop talk on a main soft cut. So we can do it again. Put a blood on the neck. Get a bad person in. It's pizza day. Level rest in the fun front. Got a come on.
Dennis, they sounded really upset too.
Is everything
that you're bringing us, people who are upset about things?
They made a damn good video for this.
That's all I'm exposed to.
I gotta watch that now. I don't think I've seen it.
You should see it. It's good.
Yeah.
It's got a Spike in it from One Tall Dooley, I believe.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Other people.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, I have to check that out.
I remember when it came out.
Good ass video.
We'll link it in the blog.
Yep.
It's a good release. Like, I just like music like that that can just take me from like this normal. I don't even know what normal is. What am I saying? but just take me out of that like thing and something that just drives me. I can feel it, the adrenaline, and boom. So,
do you find that it's that I don't know, like you kind of feel maybe not jaded, but like you're just so used to seeing great bands all the time that it just takes something like something a teeny bit different to kind of just shake you out of that mode. Right?
I would say that exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, because that's one of the things that I'm constantly asked is like, hey, you must really like metal. I go, no.
Yeah. No.
I don't, but I'm good at producing it.
Yeah.
And no, I mean, I like metal. I love live metal. I think the music, like, I don't I mean, if you looked at my album collection and my vinyl and my cassette tapes and everything that I still listen to, I'm still living in the 80s, man. I really am. You could see a lot of Greg Almond. You could see Kiss. You'll see, I think I've got every album Ozzy Osbourne ever even touched. But, I'm still living in back in those days. That's my go-to if I'm going to listen to something. Like, if I'm going to put on a record, it's going to be something back from that era. We don't have records these days. Well, we do.
It's just a hobby now. It's like
it was like the last 20-something years of collecting stuff. There's nothing to collect on vinyl that I think. I mean, that's where, I really like listening to the vinyl. I really like messing with the cassette. So it's that, But, I'll tell you, that does not do it for me live anymore. I recently saw Kiss in concert, on that last tour when they played here in Sparks. And it just wasn't the same, It's I was actually kind of bored at the show. But, you come out and then you got, a band like Bear Eater. just a local garage band that's... I shouldn't call them a garage band. They're killing it. They got a great guitars. They got great driving music.
I love
music,
garage bands. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm all about.
It's not an insult. It's not a genre.
But it's and that's what I mean. It's I hate to say it the way it came out, but no, that's what I work with all the time. And I'll tell you what, that's what gets me through my day to day. It's the setup, the cleaning, the everything that I do, down in the basement. And I have a team. I have a great team. John and Patty are my left and right hand. I stand behind them fully on everything that they do. But they have their lives too, and I kind of don't. this is what I'm doing. So, I'm the guy that has to pick up all the broken glass at the end of the night, mop the floors, wipe down the tables, put out the trash, all that stuff. And this is – when I actually get to the show part of it, that's my thing. It's feeling it, hearing it, I wish I could enjoy it more and actually listen to it. It drives me, but most of the time I'm running the lights, I'm running the sound.
I think there's a little, somebody who's been in the music scene and running shows and stuff for a really long time, like you have, you've probably been doing it for a lot longer than me, but I just find personally for myself, I don't know if you feel this way, but I get more out of it when I'm helping, when I'm doing something, when I have a job, and to the point where I've done so many shows and I've done so much stuff that if I'm not doing something at a show, that's when I get bored. That's when I'm oh God, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
Does that beer bottle need to be swept up? You're always looking for something to do. So I think that's why if you go to one of those big shows or whatever, and you also kind of know how the sausage is made a little bit. So you're kind of picking apart the things that could be better or, mix is wrong.
There's no such thing as favorites anymore at this point either. Someone says, hey, what's your favorite band? It's how do you do that?
You can't pick.
There's no way. There's no way.
I would never.
There's some I don't like, but even the ones that I don't like I typically, I'm a douchebag. I literally don't work with people I don't want. If I don't like your music, I'm not going to put you on my stage. And that's where it's really cool. Yeah. That's what's really cool about my job. I pick and choose. And I'm selective. I'll be honest. And I'm usually honest with them too. I've told bands that, if I don't want to work with them, I'm not going to say, hey, man, look, I don't like your stuff. No, I'll say, hey, you know what? Give me something else. Do this. Get some stage presence. Maybe twist this up. Change your sound. Work on your tone, I'll say something like that. But unless I like it, because I listen to everything that goes on at my stage. I put a lot of – I don't just put any band that says, hey, we got a band and we're going to do this. I'm like, no. You're sending me an EPK. I want to see video. I want to hear recorded tracks.
That's the opposite of our podcast.
That's not true.
We're just well, you got a band? Come on. Bring your shit over. Plug it in here. Yeah. We'll fix it in post. Here you go. Bam.
We run the gamut from beginning bands to fucking polished pros.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've had them all on.
And what? They're all fun.
Yeah,
it's all, so what, I don't think we've ever had trip. A real bad time.
What I'm trying to say is that if Dennis won't have you on his stage, give us a call.
You can polish your shit here at our place.
Well, exactly. So we kind of go through, and I think that's what I have been trying to do for the last few years with the podcast is, I go out to these shows and I whatever, and I see a band that I think does have a little bit of potential, and I do try to book them because they can come on. They don't have an EPK. They don't have a demo. They have no recording.
Yeah. Right.
And so they may be kind of cool out, but they can't book anywhere because they've got no way to prove that they.
Yeah. Play I mean, well, but you know? I'll even, if they don't have any of that stuff, I'll even offer to go to the rehearsals. I do that quite often with bands.
That's dedication.
I've been into some crazy locations of Reno. I've never been in the 33 years I've lived here. I've been to a garage out in the North Valleys where I was like, where the hell? These guys are going to kill me. They don't want, I'm not going to let them play that club. They're going
to
kill me.
Tell someone your last known location. But yeah, send them to me. Send them to us. We'll book them on here. We'll get them a recording, you know, good or bad. They could test it out.
Yeah, that's up to you. Don't come on here drunk and then say my recording sounds like shit. Yeah,
well, you know.
Yeah, you got.
I always tell people
bro.
When I book them that I'm like, okay, like you can use these recordings for whatever you want. A lot of bands use them for like a demo or whatever, but you only get one shot. Only one take. So practice. Well,
if you show up and fuck it up, we're really sorry.
That's what's fun about live music, too.
I've seen more than one take before.
Okay, once in a while. No, but we'll, not as a rule.
No. We'd like to not have to do that.
We'd like to not have to do that.
All right. Well, I think we better
get to the next song.
Yep.
Okay, so, well, we were just talking about, like, shitty bands.
Oh, we got a shittiest band.
The shittiest band of all time. At least, like, and I'm only saying that because Bill Manspeaker has become quite a friend of mine over the years. And
I thought you were going to say Divine Defecation.
Well, no, Green Jelly. Green Jelly. You know the band Green Jelly.
Only their name is bad. Their music's really good.
Yeah. Their name is shitty, though.
But Bill Manspeaker has prided himself the last like 30 years of having Green Jello, which is / Green Jelly these days, on being the worst band in the world. And like he just wants you to flip him off when you see him. He wants you to tell him that Green Jelly sucks. And that is what makes this guy the most fun. The shows are out. We've had him 3 times at the Cellar Stage in the last 3 years, and it's over the top fun. It is just a gigantic party. The antics, the puppet show thing. He brings these huge, full-headed puppet heads, and he passes them out to the people in the crowd. And everyone
like
becomes
thing?
A part of the show. You know, it is so far from furry. It's
I like the furries. I'm just curious.
But no, there are a couple of furry ones there. But we have had an absolutely blast with this guy. And like, I mean, in the last 3 years, I mean, we're going. What's he? We pretty much sold out the first one. The last one was on a shitty weekend. I forget what else was going on. But I mean, there's always 150 people in the room to see that, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, through the ups and downs of like sometimes the craziness of working with him is it's on amateur level because he just doesn't care, you know. And that's what makes it fun, because it's like you never know what's going to happen. It's the same show. I mean, you know, it's Green Jelly. They have what, 5 hits?
Yeah.
I could name one.
You can name one?
Yeah.
Well, I've got one you never heard today, but I really enjoy it, and it's fun for them to – it's fun for me to hear them play it live because they just go wild in it. But it's called the Bear Song.
It's Bear Dance.
Bear Dance. I'm really bad at
songs,
too.
But that is the Bear Song, so you're not wrong.
Hey, is that a bear over there?
I don't know.
Hey, Boo-Boo.
Hey, Yogi.
Somebody give that cabbage a haircut.
We'll be right back.
Was that supposed to be a dance remix?
That wasn't the version that I had in mind, but
it
actually,
worked. Can I go?
It was actually a notch up from the one I was going to ask you to play, because that keyboard, that funky little keyboard in there that was making it sound like a dance remix, that's usually crappy guitar.
Oh. But,
okay. The lyrics were the same, right?
Yeah.
The bear went over the mountain.
Yeah,
that's one of my daughter's favorite songs. She's three. She loves that song.
You need to play her that version, man.
I will.
There's probably a whole bunch of versions.
She'll make me dance the whole time with her, too.
But, like I was saying, the guy, he is absolutely nuts. I just love working with him and like, the craziness that is his show. And this year, we're not going to be having him this year because he got called into a festival-type show, I guess. So he's going to be at the VSB in July. Mm-hmm. So to see him in a bigger club is going to be – that would be fun. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the videos. The videos from the Cellar is just like – I mean, we've got all these inflatables on the stage and you can't see nothing. And it's just – it's even more – that's what makes it even more fun is it's larger than life in the basement.
Well, and that's what's great about the Cellar is like you get – bands who are playing festivals and shit like Sponge and the Green Jelly and fucking D.I.'s coming.
Yeah, D.I.'s
coming. I got my tickets. I'm so excited.
Who was just there? Agent Orange. I just played with them. That was fucking great. Yeah. But it's so intimate. You could meet the bands easily.
Oh, yeah. And you know, the cool thing so far that I've had, I've only had one band that actually had a problem with the stage security. They wanted to be completely separated from it. But I mean, I've had huge bands in there, like Anvil. Like, those guys are legendary.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, yeah, spoof or not, take it for what it is. If you've seen if you've seen the documentary, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But I had Anvil. Like, Anvil.
That's metal as fuck.
And down in the basement of the stage. I mean, in the basement of the Alturas. And it was absolutely magical, that guy. I mean, the energy that guy gives off. I think he sings better and plays better than he ever did. I mean, this was 2 years ago. I should have added that as one of my turning points because that was
epic. Too late.
I mean, too late.
We'll save that for next season.
That's where one of those things where the agents all started going, "Holy crap, Anvil played in this place," and then that just opened up a lot of things for what I'm doing now, like especially with the agencies, the respect that we've gotten, and even his report back to his agency. Was phenomenal. He said he loved playing. He said it was the best place that he'd played or the most fun place that he'd played in 20 years.
Nice.
And it was like nothing but compliments that came back to me on that. And it was a good time.
I think also we had that surf band from Switzerland or something, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
or they're
yeah.
from the, Russia. They're the from
monsters.
Russia.
The Monsters.
Monsters came before, and then they were friends with that other band that played with us.
Oh, the Messer Chubs.
Chubs,
that's it.
Yeah, from Russia.
Yeah, those guys were great.
Yeah, and the whole room had mad respect for them by the end of their set. The whole room was quiet and just – and then when they finished, everybody was just like, fuck, and they just – you could tell it. They felt it. They're like, absolutely. Oh, this was fucking great.
I think like with the rest of the lineup, no one was expecting what that actually became. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when they started playing, everyone was just like, "Holy crap! It's like it's the Russian Beach Boys, and they have a girl."
The Russian Cramps.
Man, that was an amazing set. I mean, that was one of my highlights. Like I say, like there's all these crazy things that happen in the Cellar, and that was one of them. It just became magic. I was just like, I never thought in a million years that was going to work out. But holy crap.
They're going to go back to Russia and be all, fucking Reno was cool, dude. In Russian, of course.
Right. Otherwise, they were stoked. No one will understand.
They had asked for a bottle that actually they didn't even know it was in their rider on the contract. And we ended up giving them the bottle anyway. And they were just like so thankful. Like, no, it was the first time they had gotten a bottle from their rider on any of the tour. So she was like, oh, wow.
You read it.
You read it. Exactly.
That's why the Van Halen always put the green M&Ms in their rider, because they wanted to just see if you fucking read it.
We read them. I've read all of them. You know, am I the only one who actually like gets all the things on the fucking list?
Yeah. You probably are, because I'm way too cross off nice. A lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm too fucking nice.
There's just stuff that
gluten-free chips.
Maybe I would get you 12 towels each. if we were in an arena, but you're playing in my basement. It's like, I mean, some of that stuff, it gets expensive where the rider is almost as much as the guarantee. And you're like, oh, man.
What's this? And then they want like a dinner buyout or whatever. Oh, and you're God. Like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to feed you too.
Yeah.
And get you all this shit. All right, whatever.
Yeah, it's not enough that I'm giving you all this money on the guarantee. Now you want me to feed you too.
Don't you know I'm the singer of Dog Fart, dude? No respect.
None at all. Speaking of respect, let's move on to
We need to keep going.
Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah, we're halfway through the music.
Yeah. We got two more?
I have three more.
All right, let's do.
We'll just make them quick. Okay, so Greg Golden.
Greg Golden
he's freaking awesome. Like, there's not much else you can say about him. I mean, there's so much to say about him, but like, he's just the guy is. It was one of those things where like I had to get to the level where I had Greg Golden playing in the Cellar Stage. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I say I've done something here. Because if you can convince Greg to play in a small place like
he's
that,
he's pretty stubborn.
You've done something.
Yeah.
He is. He's not stubborn. He's just very picky and very select.
That's
what makes him who he is.
We had him on once, and I remember him saying, "The thing about Reno music is bands play way too soon. Mm-hmm. They don't practice. They don't get good at what they're doing. They just go out and do it."
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that's the way you fucking do it. But to him, he's like,
get better on stage in front of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you can't play at a certain level, it's not entertaining to him.
It's not
right.
I mean,
that's understandable
because you know you get the comedy aspect. It's like, oh wow, that's fun.
Oh, cool.
But I mean,
I love that one.
But the perfectionist that he is, I mean, I don't know what I did that day. I don't know what kind of drugs I was on. I don't know what I was doing, but the sound that day was fucking so perfect. And I mean, I was actually like, I'm looking around going, is anyone else hearing this?
If you figure out that drug combination, let Dogwater Dick know.
Yep, I need it.
I don't know what it was, but I was looking around and go, are you hearing this? This is awesome. And I, you know, it's not me. It's obviously Greg. And like Greg, when he strums out old Les Paul, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, he's got the best guitars, best equipment.
I love it.
And so he knows how to play.
Yeah, I have to pay tribute to him in this because, like I said, it made me see that, okay, I still have something special here and I can still get away from the metal and do something old school rock and roll.
Yeah.
Hell cool.
Yeah.
We'll be having him back in the fall, too, so keep an eye on that because it is absolutely great. It's a great show.
I guess I'll have to go. It'll be my first time.
The late 80s LA metal sound.
Joe Retta just adds to that whole thing. Jeff Montgomery, our local guys. Oh, God. It's just the band is just an all-star band.
Slayers.
Jeff Martin is actually the drummer for them. It was like, and one knows, remember, from Badlands, Racer X, all those bands. He's been in those bands all these years, and here he is playing here in Reno with Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That is cool. We have
it's good stuff. It's
real
it's
rock stars polished. In our backyard.
Yeah, a little mini super group.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Very cool. So who's number five on your hit list?
Number five would have to be, I just did this, we were talking about it earlier, Agent Orange. Because, God, these guys, they opened up the door to two new worlds to me. Number one, the first time they played a couple years ago, we had a huge problem with the promoter. The promoter oversold the show without our knowledge, and everything was just bamboozled. It was just an absolute mess. The show went on anyway. I earned Mike Palm. He's the singer of Agent Orange. I earned his respect because of everything that he knew what was going on. And we went on with the show, and I held my head up high, and he actually held my hand up after the end of the show, and he said, "I need everyone to root this guy on. You have no idea what he went through tonight," and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, at one point, someone had got pushed in the mosh pit, and they cut out the main speakers in the middle of the show. And I could not get my fat ass from the corner over to the other side of the stage, so I jumped over my system and went behind. I went behind the bass player and went over and put everything back, and then we had to wait for the system to come back on. And Mike just looked at me. He's like, "Dude, that was awesome." I mean, he's screaming it while he's still playing. They didn't miss a beat. The sound was still coming through the monitors, and everyone in the crowd was still singing. He goes, "Don't worry, we got this. We're going to solo for a little bit longer." And I was like, "Okay, great." I go, "It just has to reconnect, and everything will be fine." So everything, bam, it came back on, and everything was great. And the show went great. But this last time we had them, I don't have too many shows where I can say, "Holy shit, this is absolutely perfect." Everything went – we were 5 minutes ahead getting them on stage. Everything was just like – the sound was on. The crowd was on. Mm-hmm. Everything was so smooth. It was like we couldn't – I mean, honestly, I was waiting for something to happen. I thought the place was going to explode. I didn't – I had no idea.
There was a good a mix of like punkers and then like people who like surf rock.
Yeah. It was – I mean, the crowd was – I couldn't have asked for a better different crowd. It was very, mixed. Very, very, very mixed.
Yeah. And then the lineup was mixed too because you got Dooley blowing the doors down first, but then the Vampirates to blow your fucking mind.
Yeah.
And then this really rad, crazy professional surf group from Russia.
That was crazy.
And then Agent Orange.
And then Agent Orange.
To knock it out of the park.
I couldn't believe they played as long as they did either. And he said he was going to be back. He said he really likes playing the place. So we'll see.
So. And then he goes down to L.A. and tells everybody, and D.I. goes down back to L.A. and
that's exactly tell how I got D.I., a matter of fact.
Yeah. Dominoes are falling.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to have that problem, you know? It's like I keep getting hit, and I've got a couple of cool ones I can't talk about right now that are coming up, but you guys are going to love it.
We'll talk after the show.
We should have saved that for the Patreon show that we did not do this week.
Oh,
poor Patreons.
You neglected souls. Thank you for your money.
We didn't have an extra song.
We have one more.
But we got to do Agent Orange first.
Yeah. So
that's right.
So what are we hearing from them?
Yeah.
What's the name of the song?
Oh, the name of the song is Everything Turns Gray. I am gray, so I'm partial to it.
And rub it in.
It made sense.
Everything turns gray. Jason's Bay.
That was 2 whole minutes about the inevitability of disintegration.
Yeah.
And it sounded so cheerful.
It's like my favorite Agent Orange song, too.
But they make it sound fun.
Right. Yeah. I'm down.
Grab your skateboard.
That's true.
Right. All right. So coming in at number 6 in our last song of the
before? Should we say goodbye and then
show? Yeah,
talk
I'll
about
say goodbye, but let him set it up first and now.
Oh, goodbye. Sure.
Before we get going, though, really
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, what's going
really
on?
Really quick, everybody, we have Punk Pride coming up on Saturday at the Potentialist from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. We have Heterophobia, Slutsville, and Middle-Aged Queers playing. So come out to that. I will not be there. I will be in Portland doing other important music things, though. Very important things. But... yes, we have the rest of the team holding it down, so it's going to be fun. Heterophobia has a new music video coming out. They're releasing their album, I think, tomorrow or something, which I'm so fucking excited.
It's been a while coming.
It's been a while coming. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that, and go hang out. That's a daytime thing. Dennis, do you have anything at the Cellar this weekend?
Oh, let me see. This weekend. I don't even remember.
Because our thing is 2 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Dennis is all about today, okay? Dennis doesn't know what's happening this weekend. That's like 5 days away.
Go to a day thing and then go to
a night
thing.
I know I have Ozymandias. And
Ozymandias, yes.
There's something metal going on after that.
The 6th. Yeah, 666, Ozymandias at the Cellar, and then do Pride on
the 8th.
That
would be the big one, yeah.
Right on, right on. I got some stuff just in my from my world here from like Wanton Dooley and Glitterbats and Nowhere Nevada. Wednesday, June 19th, playing with Riot Radio, The Scoffs, and Wanton Dooley will be at Alturas, the Cellar, playing with Dennis. That's super awesome. Then in July, we just got Glitterbats just got booked with Alice, our second show with this rad LA goth band.
Alice
coming
is
up.
So cool.
And our local goth band, another local goth band that's coming out. What are they called?
Whittaka.
Whittaka.
Yeah, formerly known as
WITTAKA.
They were Moonlit Cemetery, and I don't remember. I don't know if there was a member change or just they did a little sound change and a tweaking, and they changed the name. And I actually kind of like it. It's growing on me a little.
Cool. And they're going to be guests on our show too, coming up.
Sweet.
Any goth band I ever see, I'm like, dude, we got to get that Heaven 07 on too.
Yes, we fucking do. They were so good
for Rick. And then Zenobia is opening that one up. She's a DJ, right?
Yeah, she's a DJ from the Ritual, the goth scene.
Ooh.
And she's gonna be playing.
Rick.
She's gonna start off the show. She's gonna play the music in between. So instead of doing the house mix, and then she's gonna play a set after Alice.
Nice.
So. And then a little bit before that, July 2nd, which is a Tuesday, which is kind of crazy. We're playing, Wanton Dooley's playing with Pussy Velour and this crazy South American band called Davila 666. And that's at Cyprus. So that's a money band. So it's probably going to be a good show, you guys. And Davila, yeah, they're crazy. They're like crazy fucking punk rock from the other America.
The other America.
Yeah. And then, of course, just I'll be plugging this until it's done. August 3rd. August is an 8, so that's why I got confused. August 3rd and August 31st will be showing Nowhere Nevada. August 3rd is going to be at Good Luck Macbeth in Reno. August 31st will be at the Brewery Arts Center. August 3rd in Reno will be me and Mark Ernest Vague Inc. also playing with the movie. And then the 31st is going to be Los Pistoleros with Mark Ernest Vague Inc. in Carson.
Damn.
So if you want to come see the movie live with people and bands and...
Yeah, how bad do you miss Jub Jubs? Because it's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All your friends are in there. If you're listening to this, you know
someone.
Some of our
friends are cast are in there too. Like,
that's true.
Some of our angels are in that movie. And you can come try to get one of the last films from me. Yeah, we'll have some films and CDs for sale from Nowhere Nevada.
Awesome.
So make plans for all this stuff, you folks. And we love to see you. Glitterbats are going in the studio in June.
Nice.
Roxy really doesn't have a lot of gigs. So if you get, you know, like some goth bands or pop bands or
hey, I got some connections. Maybe
bands,
I can help you with that.
You want to get Roxy Colley booked.
God, Nick, it's not all about your bands. Okay?
Well, it's
well, it is when he's in half the bands in Reno.
That doesn't help. Yeah,
it's the three bands in the podcast.
It's Nick Ramirez and Chris Fox. Like, that's all the bands in Reno.
Like, I'm starting a band. Do you have Nick or Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to be in a band with Chris Fox.
Hey, oh, let's talk. We can't even.
No, the world would explode. No.
Can we not?
Reno's not ready for. This right. town's not big enough for the two of you
right.
together on one stage.
All right, Dennis, so will you want to set up the last song for us?
Set it up? Sure.
Who are we going to listen to?
Well, I've done a hat trick with these guys. They're an old school, I guess you'd call them punk, because they were like mainstream. They had a big release. They made it really, really big in the mid-90s, but you know, they were kind of quiet for a bunch of years, and I still don't know why. I never asked the story because I can't get past that. The singer, Vin Dobrovsky, is just an amazing human being. Since the first time he came through, he met my son, Uriah, who I don't have with me tonight, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah,
he was here last time.
He was here on the last one.
Yeah, yeah.
But he always remembers Uriah's name. He's always quick to say hello. He's always like one of the nicest guys in the business. And Vin is the singer of Sponge. And Sponge is something special to me because that was like the first like real band that we had down in the basement where it really started the onslaught of getting to work with the agents and getting, you know, recognized on a different level than just a shitty dive bar venue. I don't know. They kind of put us on the map. We've had them back three times. And the cool thing about Sponge is – they don't just book the Cellar. He asks me if they can book the Cellar. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, hey, do you guys got any room in the spring? We're going to go do another tour on the West Coast. If you guys got any room, we'd love to come play your room. You know, he's like really laid back and really, really cool like that.
That tells me that he enjoys that real kind of underground rock and roll vibe where smaller venues is really where the most fun is happening.
Exactly. Yeah. Like these last 5 or 6 years that they've been just doing, I think every other year they run a tour of the whole country, but he really likes the West Coast where they've been back three years in a row, and we've had them 3 years in a row. And
where are those guys out of?
They're out of, I want to say Detroit. Michigan.
That's a rock Michigan city. Area. Rock mm-hmm. city.
That's where it all started. I believe that's where they're still located. I actually get, they yuck it up really well because I get a lot of hits from that area, from Chicago and a lot of Springfield, Illinois, as a matter of fact, is pretty close to that. And I keep getting bands from that area. So he's yucking it up about us. And
cool.
It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice to see some of the stuff that he's done for us. And actually, Sponge has just been, I don't know what you'd call it. They've always been there for me. I had one of my fondest stories about him was back in 94 when I was in the process of moving back and forth from Massachusetts to here. I had a job here, so I had to wait until I had time off to go figure out my affairs back east. And then I went back and forth probably 9 times in a year.
Whoa.
And I had an 83 Trans Am, T-tops, the tape player, the fucking whole 9 yards. And
nice.
That tape, when I bought that tape, like I put that tape in the thing. And yeah, just like the Bandit. But the cassette tape of Rotting Pinata.
Oh, yeah.
Got stuck in my tape player and I could not get it out. It was like the eject button was wrecked and blah, blah, blah. And there's not a whole lot of like when you're driving 2,900 miles away from Springfield, Massachusetts, all the way to Reno, there's not a lot of places where you have anything else to listen
good
to
radio,
but a tape.
Yeah.
So that tape, I knew every single – I even know where the cuts and rips and the ripples in the cassette tape were on the tape. Like I knew everything about that album forward and backwards. And I mean I literally wore it out in 9 trips back and forth across the country. I knew everything about Sponge from that album. And when I told him that, he just said, that's got to be the coolest story I've ever heard, man. I will always remember it.
That's so rad. Dude, check this out. I was telling you guys about Fallon, right? Charlie from Will Schamberger Band, the shredder, guitar player. Just,
Charlie!
He's like, I got your Roxy Collar CD stuck in my car radio, and I fucking love it, man. He doesn't talk with an English accent. I don't know why I just gave one. I think I was thinking of Reese, who was there,
too.
It's
the weed.
Yeah, my weed's wearing off. I need to be more high. But anyway, similar. It got stuck in there, and I love that.
And it's like, it's not something that I didn't hate it. It just like I listened to it because I was like, all right, cool. I guess I like the song now too, you know? So I made the best of it because what are you going to do? You're looking at yellow lines all the way for 2,900 miles.
That's what Charlie said. He said, like, I've listened to it so much. Just please let me play with you guys when, you know, like, I know the record. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Fucking rad.
But yeah, the song I picked was, you know, everyone is probably just going to say, oh, they only have one hit. But they actually have more than one hit. They play for about 90 minutes every time they come through, and it's just a great time. They play a couple covers by their favorite punk bands, and they're probably the coolest band to play with. But for to honor them, I'm just going to have you guys play Molly, 16 Candles.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Great song. And with that, folks, we want to thank you, Dennis, for being on this week.
My pleasure.
And thank you, everybody, coming in and everybody listening. Nick Ramirez saying life is short and we love you.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
See dudes naked in the bath. Cigarette stains on your ass. Wilted flowers in a vase. I ask, how are you? Yeah, how are you? Candles down the drain. Down the drain. Down the drain.